Verse that's go about shaking hands and greeting each other with a smile. It's a beautiful day because it's one day closer to meeting the Lord face to face.
Provide
number 248.
we could have the ushers forward, we will receive this morning offering. It is good to see you here, Wasatch Avenue Baptist Church, this morning. Looking forward to preaching for sure this morning, and it looks like all kinds of stuff. Well, one thing I wanted to say was thankful for all the men that showed up for work day, all two of them, and that was a sure blessing. But somebody decided to schedule a baby shower accidentally on the church work day, and so Amanda got most of the workers. So praise the Lord for that, but that was a blessing. And I don't know if you noticed, we got the sign up on the tower so people can know what our address is and when our hours are and, you know, where we're at and what this building is. So that was a blessing to get put up there. I'm really excited about that. All right, if you would like to, you can give at the kiosk in the back or online. And we're very thankful for you being here and visiting with us this morning. Let us pray and ask the Lord's blessing on the service this morning and the offering. Lord, we thank you so much for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for dying on the cross of Calvary to save our soul, Lord. And thank you for the privilege of being able to live in a free country this morning. Father, where we can come in and come to church and worship you and sing to you and praise you. And Lord, I pray, Father, that you would bless the gift and the giver this morning. And thank you so much for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Take your Bible and turn to Ephesians chapter 6. We're continuing our series on stewardship. And stewardship is the idea that nothing I possess belongs to me, but it all belongs to the Lord, right? I am merely a manager, just like when you put your money in a bank and you deposit it there, the bank manages it or they steward it. Or they try to steward whatever of it that you don't spend. Well, that's not really how that works at all. But anyway, you have it. We are entrusted with some things that the Lord has given us, and we manage them, right? And so everything is the Lord's. And the last 2 weeks we went over marriage. And if you ever have difficulties in marriage and things like that, you can go online. You can listen to the messages. All our messages are recorded on Facebook Live and on YouTube, so you can share them. You can embed them in your website. You can tag people in them. But just be careful with all that stuff. But anyway, all that stuff's available and easy for your use online. Now we have come to the topic of children, stewarding children. Now this is a this is a very important subject, right? The children are the future of our nation. They're the future of our church. And it's very, very important how we steward them and how we teach them and train them and how we teach them to grow up. Now, it is a blessing that we have so many young families here and so many children. And that's it's a sign of a healthy church, because it's not only the demographic that the kids are out of the house. We still have young people that are having children right now, and some that will be having children soon. And some of us are already raising children. And when I think about a child, and, you know, how many of you have seen a baby dedication? You've seen that? And I always think about Hannah. You know, Hannah wanted children. And she prayed to the Lord, and she said, if you give me a child, I'll give him back, and he will be lent to the Lord as long as he liveth. Right? And she had that child, and after 2 years old, when she brought him up to the temple, and she brought him up to the priest and Eli there, she said, here's my son Samuel. I have promised to give him to the Lord. And she brought him there and left him there, and he was there to serve the Lord. And you know that child that she served the Lord, he grew up and to be the judge, the last judge of Israel, Samuel. And he was such a great guy. He anointed David, he anointed Saul, and he always stood for righteousness and stood against evil. And what a blessing that was. And you know when Hannah saw him, she saw him once a year when she went to the temple. You know what she did when she brought him to the temple? She went there and she brought him a little coat that she made for him every year to show him she loved him and care about him. But primarily, our children, they're not ours, they're the Lord's, right? He formed them in the womb and he knew them before we ever knew them, right? The Lord knew our children first. We got to meet them 9 months after they were conceived, but you know what? The Lord knew them on day one. And he knew them, and he knew what their character would be like, and he formed them. And what a blessing that is to be entrusted with a child. It's a blessing. And, you know, it's very important how we parent. Look at Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1. And we're going to talk about three things this morning. Actually, we're going to talk about two of them, and the next message will be the third one. But it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, right? For this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Now, don't we all want that for our children? Verse 4. Don't we want it all to go good with them, and they live a long time? We want them to outlive us, don't we? And then it says, and you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Let's pray. Brother Malachi, is he in here? Can you stand and ask the blessing on the sermon this morning, please? Amen. Now I want you to think about this. If these are the Lord's children and I'm a steward over them, guess what? I am going to give account to the Lord one day for how I raise my children. Does everybody believe that? You're going to stand before God and give account to the Lord on how you have parented and stewarded your children. Now, you know one thing that's very important for us to understand here is we are going to be judged based on not our opinion, once again, of whether we've done a good job, but guess what we're going to be judged on? Does anybody have a clue? We're going to be judged by whether we followed the manual he gave us that came with the child. You know, when you open something, you get a camera or a new phone, and you've invested your inheritance in getting a new iPhone that you pay $7,000 a month for, it comes with a manual and some instructions, right? And guess what? Children come with a manual too. They come with instructions. And you're going to give account to the Lord one day, and he's going to be like, I gave you the child and he's broken. What happened? And you're like, well, I didn't know what to do. He said, I gave you a manual. I gave you a set of instructions. And that's what you're going to be judged by, not your opinion of whether you've done a good job or not. Because I can tell you this, I have never met a bad parent that knew they were a bad parent. I have never met a parent that said, you know what, I am doing a horrible job as a parent. I'm a bad parent. I'm a sorry excuse for a mother or a father. They all think that they're the best parents in the world, no matter how bad they are. Say, preacher, what are you talking about? Listen, I am speaking from experience. I'm not judging anybody. Now, let me tell you this. Every parent hates with a passion to have other people look at them and how they raise their children and have opinions about it. Is that not true? You will be there with little Johnny or little Susie, and little Johnny or little Susie will kill somebody or they'll do something horrible, and people look at you, what a bad parent you are, and you know what you do? You get sad because, well, how would they don't know little Johnny. They don't know what I go through, and I can't believe that they would look at, why would somebody look at a little precious child that way? Johnny, you're such a good boy. Right? You know I'm telling the truth. And then you know what else happens? It makes us angry. How dare they judge me and look down on me? They don't know who Johnny is or what we've been through. My situation's different and unique. Nobody goes through what I go through. I have an excuse, and you get mad and angry at people. Is that not true? And then you know what else happens? You get embarrassed. Now, this really catches us off guard because we are good parents, so why should we feel embarrassed? That really throws us off, doesn't it? And you know what we do when all those things happen? We want to, with all that we have, all we want to do is we want to go home where nobody can see us, and where our child is free to disobey us, and we are not judged no matter how obedient they are and disobedient they are, and we're safe within the structure of our house and nobody can see, and you can tell them whatever you want and they don't have to listen to anything, and it can bother you for a second and you can quickly get on Facebook or turn on the television and all your worries and troubles go away. It's a great place to be at home, isn't it? Now, I promise you this, I have been there. I remember there was a time when my family was in such disarray and I needed help bad. The church was falling apart. My family was falling apart. We were heading for disaster. That eventually occurred. And I went down to Corpus Christi and I said, Brother Welder, I need your help. And I said, would you come talk to me and my family? And I went down there and I got a hotel room about the time it was for the children to take a nap. And I said, preacher, can you come and talk to me and give us some help? And put the kids to bed, and they were supposed to take a nap. The preacher comes in and he sits down to talk to us. The children got up. They wouldn't stay in bed. And they started jumping from one bed to another. Sit there. I told you no. Don't do this. We're trying to have a conversation. Every 5 seconds, the conversation got interrupted and interrupted and interrupted. And the preacher said this. He said, I love you, but this is the most unproductive thing we could ever do. Nothing productive can come out of this. You're distracted all the time. You're trying to do this and they're not obeying. And and everything's a mess. And I can see what your problem is, and I can see why your life is falling apart, but this is not good. And there, you know what? We're just going to have to reschedule for another time. And I remember being so upset and so embarrassed. And you know, the most convicting passage in the Bible for me at one time in my life was 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. Bishop must be blameless, a husband of one wife. Look at it. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. Look at this. And it says, he must be blameless, one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, nor striker, nor greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetousness, one that, what, ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man not know how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? And I remember nobody respected me as a pastor if my children wouldn't respect me, if my wife wouldn't respect me, if my children would not obey me. My children ran all over me, and so did most people in the church and most other people. I remember going to a trustee meeting, and the trustee sitting around, they say, preacher, that... And I remember just in front of those five men being there at a complete loss and weeping. Okay? So I've been there. And now people judge me because my children sit quietly in church. They don't run around. They don't swing from the chandeliers. They don't go beat on the piano. And they don't take the musical instruments and ruin them anymore. And don't jump in the baptistry and go swimming during church services like they used to. You'd be preaching and then they'd come swimming across. And they judge me because they no longer play and they sit there quietly. But listen, I would rather be here any day of my life than go back to where I was. And I will tell you this. They have all the fun in the world at home. They climb 40 feet in a tree and jump out of it and scare us half to death. Amen? They have fun and they're a blessing and stuff like this. But it is okay for them to sit there quietly and learn how to respect some people too, right? And let me say this. As much as we hate being judged, I will tell you this, that the Lord is a far more important judge or critic than other people. Would you agree with that? And so I've said that this morning and made myself vulnerable this morning so you could understand where I'm coming from. But you know what I want to tell you this morning? That I'm not here to judge you. I'm not here to look down on you. But can we all sit here this morning as parents and let the Lord open the Bible and teach us and let Him judge us? Is that okay? Because guess who we're going to give account to? Not the parent that looks down on you because your kid sits there, or the parent that looks down on you because your kid destroys musical instruments. But you know who's going to judge you? The Lord is. You know what He's going to use to judge you? This Bible. And so, with that in mind, we all want good children. We all want our kids to serve the Lord. We want them to be successful. We want them to be obedient, happy children. We want our children to have joy in life. And can I tell you that those things are possible if you follow the Lord's instructions? So how do we do it? How do we have good children? How do we be good parents? Well, I would like to say, number one, it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And we will talk about eventually about training and bringing up children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. But the first thing that has to be established before you can teach anybody anything and train anybody in any way and bring anyone up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, the first thing that has to happen is the authority has to be established. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. And let me tell you, that does not happen automatically. It doesn't. You know what? Children are born into this world disobedient, rebel, evil, wicked. That's how they come into this world. That's what the Bible says, right? In sin did my mother bear me. That's what the Bible says. And you know what? I'll tell you this. Michelle should be preaching this message. Because I gave her the principles and I told her what the Bible said. And she had the discipline to follow it out. You know what I call her? I call her the child whisperer. We have had the most evil, and none of you in here, I would never talk about you this way. Please, please don't think that. And it would never be any of your children. But we have had the most evil child in the entire world come into that nursery when she was in there. 45 minutes later, instead of him casting himself on the floor and doing flips and foaming at the mouth, quiet and obedient. Because she knows the process and knows authority and know how that works, right? But listen, you know what? You have to, number one, you have to subdue them. Children obey. You have to conquer them. You have to establish your authority. And I say this, to have a disobedient children, you have to start with disobedient parents. You know what I've learned? That the problem is not the child, the problem is the parents. If you're stressed out and overwhelmed, it doesn't have to be that way because your children are not the problem, you are. There's not two types of children that come into this world. Good children and bad children, and you're just there in the hospital. I hope it's a good one. I hope it's one that listens. I hope it's one that obeys. No, they all come into this world disobedient and wicked and evil. You're not going to get one. We all come automatically with bad ones. Isn't that right, Bez? That's how they come. And so, listen, that's how they come. And you know what our job is? We are supposed to subdue them and bring them into obedience according to the Bible and according to the Word of the Lord. Now, every parent should, according to the Bible, be able to tell his child what to do. It should be an absolute authority and understanding that this is my authority, and it doesn't matter what you want or don't want, you better listen and you better understand who the boss is. This is how the world works. And you know how they start learning it at home. When the police officer says, put up your hands, you better put up your hands. Amen? When the police officer says, stop speeding, you better stop speeding. When you're in the military and the drill sergeant says to do something, you had better do it. When your boss tells you to do something, it doesn't matter if you want to do it or not want to do it. If you want to eat, you better do it. That's how this world works. And that's how God has it set up. And you know what we need to do? We need to teach them that so when they get into the workforce, they don't think that everything should be just handed to them. You know what? Everyone gets there and they're so disappointed and disillusioned and dissatisfied because they find out that they are, listen, I'm not special. You are not special. You didn't come into this world special. Even if you were born after 1980, it doesn't make you special. You know where you get to the top? You get there by hard work and sacrifice. You do not get there by sitting around. Nobody comes to church because we're special. And that's the absolute truth. And you know what? So many people wait to do that. Since they're special, that things should just happen. They don't just happen. And you know what you need to do? Listen, they should be happy to listen to you. And it should not be a thing where it's a, listen, it should be instant obedience. That's what the Bible says, right? Can I tell you this? Hesitation is disobedience. Hesitation is disobedience. I said this to Michelle. I said, you know what we ought to be able to do as parents? We ought to be able to say, come here, stand there. And they don't come out here and stand here. We ought to be able to say, smile. Now stay right there. And they should do it, no argument. We should not have to corral them, put our hands on them. They should just be able to obey and do what we tell them to do. And they should try to stand there and make us happy by standing there and try to please us by doing it, because that's how we're supposed to relate to the Lord. And if I can't tell my son, stand right there and he listens to me, then I have a problem. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. They need to listen. Here's why it's important. If a child will never submit to you, then they're not going to submit to God. If you can't teach them how to obey you, you will never teach them how to obey the Lord. Because they learn to disobey God by learning to disobey the one that God set over them. That's how they learn to disobey God and rebel against God. Now listen, it is not okay for a child to dictate to me what he wants to eat and where he wants to go and when he wants to stay and when he wants to leave. It's my job to tell him what to do, and it's his job to obey. And I know this is making us uncomfortable, but I got uncomfortable with it as well because it was authority. You know what I used to do? Just to open myself up, I used to negotiate with my children. I was like the negotiator, Priceline or something. You know, you don't negotiate with your... That is so backwards. And I'd say, I'm going to turn off the television. Ah! What is wrong with you? Okay, 10 more minutes. Does that 10 minutes help? Ah! Okay, one more episode. Ah! You are the worst you make the worst deals. We're going to make great deals with our children. I tell you what to do and you listen. Amen? It's going to be an unbelievable deal. A great contract. It's going to be tremendous. Amen? But I would listen. I would try to negotiate with them. And look, we got to leave. Ah! Okay, well, we'll wait 10 more minutes. Ah! And then I have to drag them into the car and buckle them. And then when I try to buckle them in the car, ah, I want to do it. We'll do it. I can't do it. Can you help me? And click, no, I want to do it! And so I would take it off. I can't do it! I wanted to do it! Shut up! And you know what would happen is I used to let them change my mind. How is a two-year-old going to change your mind? Do you think he has more sense than you do? What's wrong with you? I used to give in when they told me what they wanted. Listen, I can walk through H-E-B, I can walk through the candy store, I can walk through the toy store. They're not going to touch anything and ask me for anything. If I want them to want something, I'll tell them to want it, and they're not going to want it till I tell them to. You know what? This is the biggest blessing in the world, and it almost made me cry when it happened. My son kept his room clean for a month. And as a prize, we said, if you keep your room clean for a month, we will take you down to Sonic and get ice cream. And he was the only one that did it, so he was the only one that got ice cream because we make the deal, right? And I went down there. I said, son, what do you want? He said, you tell me what I want. He said, it's your decision, Dad. I trust you. Whatever you want to get me, that'll be fine with me. I said, well, I understand and I appreciate this, but this is different. I told you, you can get whatever you want. What do you want? He said, no, Dad, really, it's fine. Just tell me what I want and I'll get it. And I had to convince him to tell me what to want. And you know what? It used to not be that. And you know what the consequence of that became? I used to threaten them. I used to yell at them. I used to give them time to come into compliance. Do it. I told you to do it. Listen, I am serious this time. You better do it. If you do it, if you don't do it, if you don't listen to me, I will tan your hide and I will whip you. And if you don't do it, you better do it right now. I'm serious. One. What are you trying to teach them how to count? That's not biblical. One, two, two and a half. Do it now, and if you don't do it, there's going to be consequences. And I'm not even going to tell you what the consequences are going to be. I used to try to talk to them, and I would let them tell me no. I used to have difficulties putting them to bed. I don't want to go to bed. For 3 hours, I'm trying to fight to get them into bed. I'm tired. I'm thirsty. I need to go to the bathroom. I couldn't just say, go to bed and sit down and read my Bible and talk to my wife or something, because I was back and forth trying to get them what they need. I don't want to go to bed. Listen, I don't care. You know what? Praise the Lord. Go to bed. They get their pajamas on, brush their teeth, and go to... You know what I used to do? I have a 4-year-old at the time, or a 5-year-old, and you know what I'm doing? I'm brushing his teeth. Why am I doing this? They should be brushing my teeth. I'm doing everything for them that they can do. I'm doing their laundry. I'm making their lunch, and I'm doing all this. You know what? My 8-year-old and my next one down, my whatever year old you are. What year old are you? 6? 6-year-old. You know what he does when he wakes up in the morning? He brings his laundry down, puts it in the washing machine, puts the soap in, starts the washing machine. When it's done, he switches it over the dryer. When it's done, he folds it and he puts it back. 6 years old. You say, that's horrible. That's child abuse. Listen, praise the Lord, they're not going to grow up and need somebody to do their laundry for them. Amen? I don't want to raise any spoiled children that don't know how to make it in life. You know, some people, some of you guys, you don't need a wife. You need a mama. Because you can't take care of yourself. Do it for them. I used to let them dictate where we're going and how long we were going to stay. And you know what I used to have to do? Extremely alter where I would go because my children would not sit there quietly and allow me to do what I was supposed to do. So I had to give them toys and books and candy. Try to sit them in church. You know, I try to sit them in church and I don't see any of that. Give them a toy and then finally, now we're at the point where we have like 3D movies and a whole theater we take into the restaurant with us. You know? You don't, kids can't just sit there quietly. And we came to church one time and Michelle was there and Monica had little Ethan, right? And at the time he's like 3 or 4 years old. And she looks over at them and Ethan was sitting there quietly the whole service. And she said, he's half the age of Bez. If he can do it, then by the grace of God, these kids can do it as well. And listen, I, you know all that was evidence for? That I had not established the authority the Lord told me to have over my child. They addressed me without reverence and without respect. You know what I tried to do? I tried to be nice to them and be their friend. And God did not call me to be their friend. He called me to be their parent. You're not there to be their friend. Amen, Brother Roland? You know what? You want to be friends with them? You can be friends with them after they grow up. But right now, you have to establish authority. You have to be their boss. You have to be their parent. You have to have authority over them according to the Scripture. And as a result of trying to be their friend, I had rotten, defiant, rebellious children that were headed for a devil's hell, and they would have never served God and never respected the Lord till they respected me and a change was made. You know what I told myself? I said, they'll outgrow it. They'll get better with time. And you know what happened? They got worse with time. And then they started fighting with each other. And then it became dangerous. It didn't get better with time. We get done with church, they go over there and take off their clothes like Tarzan, climb up into that crazy treehouse, and all the church members are over here, and my children are over there like Tarzan. Am I kidding? Jumping on the roof of the truck like it's a trampoline. And you know what all that is? They are not going to outgrow it. It's going to be something that the Lord has to have you. And then it got so bad. One day the head of the school called me in and said, listen, you need to go see a doctor. And I think that this child has ADHD or problems, and I really think that you need to go see a child psychiatrist and get some medicine, because this is not like anything I've ever seen before. And you know what I learned? That they did not have attention deficit disorder. They had a discipline deficit disorder. And I was one that needed to take my God-given position as a parent. And I learned through prayer and tears and discipline and consistency. And you know what? We were able, by the grace of God, to turn the ship around. And by the grace of God, now I have good kids that respect me and love me to death and love their mom. And they are not behind their peers anymore. Now they are ahead of their peers. Now they are sweet and pure and subdued and happy, and the fruit speak for themselves. And you know what we can do? We can take an animal and teach an animal how to sit and how to go get the newspaper and how to roll over and bark and heal and stay there. And why do we think we can do it for an animal and we can't take the highest, most intelligent of all of God's creatures and not get the same obedience and respect? I learned that I have grown up always my whole life. I have grown up with conservative people that would not send their kids to public school. I have grown up around Amish people. I have always grown up around people that were on the right fringe, trying to serve the Lord and trying to do that, right? Or at least they claim to be doing that. And all these children I grew up with, some of them serve the Lord and some of them don't. Bible believers, some of them serve God and some of them don't. And you know, if you go to their parents, you know, they'll all say, I raised them in church. They were in church every time and all this stuff. And this is, listen, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from him. Eventually, that child has to choose to serve God himself, right? Adam was the son of God, and Adam chose to disobey because he had a free will. And I will never say that it's absolutely 100% the parent's fault if the child never serves the Lord. But I will say I grew up, and there were 11 of us, okay? And I have watched very, very many big families over the time. And I have seen a lot of people go out in the world, and I have seen a lot of people not. And you know what the difference was in almost all those? I have been thinking about this for 35 years. And you know what I finally boiled it down to? One of the hugest differences is the children that did not serve the Lord never respected their parents, and they were never subdued as children, and they were rebellious. And they were allowed to rebel. You know what the Bible says? It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. And I learned they will not submit to their parents. They won't submit to God. And you know, a huge problem with our society is nobody has respect for authority anymore. I mean, they lose the election, and you know what they do? They go out and destroy things. How does that help anything? And you know what all that is? All that is, it's a little child throwing a temper tantrum because they did not get what they want, even though they didn't work for it. That's all that is. All these behavioral things and stuff like that. You know what most of the problems come down to? Bad parents. That's what's wrong with our culture and what's wrong with our society. Everything's backwards. The children tell the parents what to do, and that's not how God has it set up. It said, children, obey your parents in the Lord. You know what? You say, well, I agree that I think the Lord wants me to do this. And this is vital to the well-being of my child. And you know what? You'll never get them to obey you until you make up your mind that this is for the well-being of my child. This is not okay. This is what God wants, and I am going to do it. You have to have that established. You have to have that established that I am the parent. I am the boss, I'm the CEO, I'm the coach. You have to, You cannot go anywhere until that's established. You cannot move one step forward until that's absolutely established. And you say, after that's established, what do I do? Well, I'll tell you this. It's going to be a battle. It's going to be a battle. Because you know what? These little kings and queens that rule our house, they like doing that. They like ruling the house. They like being in charge, and they like being the boss. And if you get the authority back, it's going to be a battle. And you know what the Bible says? And this is some of the best advice I can give you. The Bible says, by good advice, with good counsel, make war. It's going to be a battle. And you know what I would recommend you to do, and that helped me so much, is if you can go to somebody that has conquered little Johnny and little Susie. And you can say, listen, Johnny and Susie tell me what to do. Your Johnny and Susie don't tell you what to do. What did you do, and how did you get the authority? And can you please help me? And you know what I have often thought? If I could just put a video camera, and I can't for legal purposes and all that stuff, but if I could put a video camera in the nursery and you could watch Michelle with those crazy children come in, and 45 minutes later they're obedient listening. If you could just see that, that 45 minutes would change your life. With good counsel, make war. Say, how did you do it? What am I going to face? Because you know what happens every time you get to a point to where you're like, I think God wants me to do this, but man, they are sure putting up a fight, and is it worth it? Am I doing the right thing? Am I doing the right thing as a parent? I'm not sure. I mean, little Johnny really wants to do this, and he's screaming, and this can't be okay. And you know what it's going to take? It's going to take a lot of time. It took us over a year to get the ship turned around. And you know what? I'll tell you this: You know what it has to be? This has to be more important than anything in your life. Parenting has to be more important than Facebook. It has to be more important than your phone. It has to be more important than television. It has to be more important than what you want to do and where you want to go. It has to be the absolute most important thing. You have to be willing to ruin your day to fix the problem. You have to be willing to not go to the park, and willing not to go out to eat, and willing not to watch a movie, and willing to alter your life to fix the problem. You know what we did? We pulled the phone, we pulled the television, we pulled everything. Because that influence was greater than our influence. And pulled it all out. And I can tell you this, should you ever get the ship turned around, it's going to take a lot of jumping jacks. It's going to take a lot of push-ups. You know what it is? It's boot camp. You know what it's going to take? It's going to take a lot of stuff like holding the book over your head until you break, until you listen, until you obey like God told you to do. And I'll give you this. This will help you a little bit. Mom and Dad better be on the same page. Don't ever let them pit you against one another. My child said, can I do this? I'm like, I don't know. Have you talked to your mom about it? Whatever she says, I'm agreeance with that. Whatever your dad says, I agree with that. You are not going to pit us again. And you know what? Err on the side of discipline. Never give them the benefit of the doubt, ever. Right, Brother Roland? Never. If you're wrong, apologize when they're 30 and the CEO of a company. And they will thank you for it. And can I tell you, as a child that was conquered by his father, the best thing my father ever did for me, is conquer my spirit. That's the absolute best thing he ever did for me. I looked at my dad and I treated him with reverential respect. And as a teenager, 18 years old, he could tell me, 17 years old before I moved off to Bible college, he could tell me what to do and I would do it. One time I had a good job, and I was using the money from the job to build him a house. And I did something he didn't like, and he said, you're not going to work tomorrow. I said, my boss will fire me. He said, good. He said, you know what? What's your boss's number? And he called him. He said, my son's not going to work for you any longer because he's rebellious. And the guy's like, well, isn't he doing this? He said, see, you're part of the problem. He'll never work for you again. Click. And you know what? That's the best thing my father ever did for me, is conquer my spirit. You say, that's mean. I would hate to be your children. 10, 13, 16. It's not too long ago, is it? Dear Mom, I love you. I'm thankful for you so much. I know you love me, and without you, I would not be able to respect you. I would be running around the church, screaming, making noise, and unrespectful. I am so happy you came into my life. I am trying to think how bad I was when you first came into the church. This is all I can say about you being the best. You are the best. Once again, you are the best. Mom, homeschooler, husband to dad, discipliner in the world. I will love you forever. Bez Jr. There's no prompting. They come to us all the time. Thank you. You're the best. We love you. We appreciate you. And you know what? It is the best. It's the best thing in the world to have children like that. Every parent craves to have a child that listens and is happy and obedient. Number one, you have to subdue them. Number two, you have to restrain them. And you say, that's a horrible word. I'm not talking about tying anybody up. In the Old Testament, if you look at 1 Samuel chapter 3, 1 Samuel chapter 3, the Bible says in verse 12, "And in that day I will perform against Eli all the things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. For I have told him in the past, and I'm telling him again, that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons have made themselves vile, and he restrained them not." The first message that God gave Samuel for the lesson in the nation of Israel was about obedience. That's the first lesson. The first lesson, I'm going to judge him, I'm going to take care of his house forever because he restrained them not. Now let me tell you this. Eli was not guilty of being a bad example to his children. He was a godly man. He served the Lord. He was a priest. He didn't do any of the things that he did themselves. And you know what Eli did when they did bad things? He called them in and talked to them and said, "I disapprove of what you're doing, and you should not be doing this, and God doesn't like this." And he was a good example, and he had a discussion with them. But you know why the Lord was upset at him and mad with him, and why the Lord had a contention with him? Because he restrained them not. He didn't restrain them. He didn't stop them. He didn't stop their rebellion. You know what the Bible says in Deuteronomy? It says this, that if a person has a disobedient, Deuteronomy chapter 21, he said, if the child won't listen, this is Old Testament, this is not what you're supposed to do in the New Testament. He said, if the child will not listen, and you have disciplined him and chastened him, and he still refuses to listen, you know what that parents were supposed to do? Bring their child to the city gate and say to the elders of the city, "Our son is a drunkard." Well, that means he disobeyed for a long time to become a drunkard, doesn't it? That means this problem has went on after childhood. And he said, "Our son is a drunkard and this and this and this." And he said, he's not going to listen to him. And you know what the elders of the city were supposed to do? Stone that child. Now, if you were a parent and you knew that if your child disobeyed and someone saw it, they could call them there, and the Lord wanted that to happen because he wanted the children to be obedient, wouldn't you take it a little bit more seriously? God has a controversy with parents that will not restrain their children and teach them to obey. You see, that's God's rule. It's not my rule. That's how the Lord has it set up. You know, the Bible says in the last days, you go to Romans chapter 1, the people that are given over to a reprobate mind, he says this vile, horrible list about them, and then he says, disobedient to parents. The first step to hell is a step of rebellion against mom and dad. In the last days, perilous times shall come. Men will be lovers of their own self, covetous, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. He said it's going to be rapid in the last day, rampant, and it's going to be everywhere. And you know what you and I are supposed to do when it comes to that? We're supposed to count it as very important, and we are supposed to disapprove of it, and we're supposed to restrain them, not speak to them, chide them, but stop them. You know, all the problems in this world, all of them come down to disobedience to parents. Adam, don't eat it. Don't touch it. Son, the baby, don't touch the TV. Don't touch the remote. Don't touch this. Don't stick your finger in the electrical socket. Don't put the butter knife in the electrical socket. Right? It starts with disobedience. Touching things God told you not to touch. Touching things mom and dad told you not to touch. And you know why? You know why adults make so many excuses now? Because their parents made excuses for them the whole time. Right? Hey, go get a job. I can't. I don't have a car. Get on the bus. It's cold outside. What is wrong with you? And here's mom. Oh, I think it's my fault. He had a hard life. And look, throw the Xbox out. Turn off the television. Restrain them. Stop them. Stop them. Kick them out. Do not let the prodigal son do it at home. Give him the boot and say, if you're going to sow your oats, you better do it in a far country because you're not doing it at home. You know what God said to do? He said to Eli, restrain them. And I'm going to get you, Eli, because you didn't do it. Hey, I know not many people in America are serious about this. He didn't say talk to them. He didn't say give them therapy. He did not say give them medicine. It's nobody's job to make your children obey but yours. You know what people come, they say, Pastor, our kids won't obey. Would you talk to them? I said, I can talk to them all I want. It's not going to do any good. You are going to have to bring them into obedience. You're going to have to. What are they going to do if I'm not there? They'll listen to me. They'll listen to the teachers that know what authority is, and they won't listen to the teachers that don't know what authority is. Isn't it crazy how a child can go into one class and be an angel and be Satan in the next class? You know what the difference is? The teacher. That's where the first steps to hell. He just makes excuses. And you know what I had to do? I had to stop making excuses. Well, they've been through a lot. Listen, son, I understand that you've been through a lot. And I understand that you've lost a lot. And I understand that you're grieving. But grief and disobedience are two separate things. And why you're being punished is not for grief, but for disobedience. And I will no longer make an excuse for your sin. Disobedience is sin. It's like drunkenness. It's like murder. And you have to view it that way. And you have to stop the sin in your house. Because you are the person that God put them there to stop it. When you tell them to do something, it is your responsibility to enforce it. When they throw a fit of anger and rage, you need to address the sin and not tolerate it. You know what the Bible says? That the Lord, whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth. Doesn't the Lord do it to us? And we're going to close with just a few verses to keep in mind. And these verses have really been an encouragement to me. Take your Bible and turn to Proverbs chapter 13. We'll just look at a few verses and then we'll be going. And the next time I preach on this, I'm going to preach about training, instruction in righteousness, teaching, nurturing. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. But that cannot happen until they listen to you and until they obey you. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 24. Stop being offended and start saying, I need some help. I need to get this straightened out. How do I do it? Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 24. When you get there, say amen. He that spareth his rod, what? Hates his son. But he that loveth him, chasteneth him betimes. And you know what betimes means in the Greek? It means bedtime. Chasteneth him at bedtime. No. He that loveth him, chasteneth him. And you know what you think? And this is why we got to get the parents straightened out before we can ever straighten out the kids. You think, oh, I'm being nice and I love them, so I'm not going to do this. And I want to be nice to them. Listen, your child needs boundaries to feel safe. Your child needs boundaries, and they will thank you for it when they become an adult. And when they become an adult, if you didn't give it to them, they will not respect you. They will not respect you. And they will be angry at you when they figure it out and say, why did you not chasten me? Why did you not stop me? And thank the Lord when you can see the rebellion that you can stop, because eventually it goes into a heart in the place where you cannot see it. Proverbs 13:24, he hateth his son. Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 18. Chasten thy son while there is hope. Are they still a child? I have had far too many people come and say, hey, I said, man, you was 17? Are you kidding me? I can't do anything with that. The only thing you can do at this point is kick them out of the house. That's the only method you have left, and please do it. And if you don't do it, give me the power of eternity and I will do it and I will love doing it. I will take them down to Sam's Shelter or Haven for Hope and I will drop them off and I will tell them you need to get a job or you're going to live here for the rest of your life. And when they cry, I will laugh. That's the only recourse you have left. You got to do it while there's hope. You know what I used to pray? God, please, give me another chance. He's not 8 yet. It's not too late. Lord, please, help me to get this corrected before this rebellion forms in his character. Please, Lord. And we would pray and we would cry. And you know what we did? We did it while there was hope. And then it says this, let not thy soul spare for his crying. And can I add to that screaming, defiant rebellion? That's where you dig in. Look at this verse, 21:15. This verse has encouraged me so much as a parent. This verse has changed my life. Because when I see the transgression, and I think, what should I do about this transgression? I err on the side of discipline. And this is the verse that helps me do it. Proverbs 21:15. It is a joy. It is joy to the just to do judgment. You know what? It should bring you joy when you see your child disobey and you pronounce judgment on him and bring him back into line. You know what that should be? That should be a joy to your heart. It should not be, oh, I can't believe I got to do this right now. I got to pause my television. So you throw away your TV and focus on your kids that God gave you. He didn't give you a job to raise the television. He gave you a job to raise a child. Get off of Facebook and have fun. The Bible says in Hebrews 12, your fathers chastened you after their pleasure. Right? It's a joy. You know what's a joy to do? See them transgress and chasten them and see them cry and see them repent. It is a joy. and you see instilling things in them that they become adult. That verse has helped me more than almost any of her. Proverbs 22:15. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of little Johnny. Little Johnny is no different than any other child in the world, and it doesn't matter that he's your child. Foolishness is bound up in his heart, and he's just as evil as Saul was. Foolishness is built. Put your child's name there. And you know the only way to get that foolishness out is the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Not sitting in the corner, not time out, not counting to three, but that's what the Bible says. Proverbs 23:13. Withhold not correction. And this is where we err as parents so much. We see a transgression. We know it needs discipline. We see an error. And you know what we do? We withhold what they need. Withhold not correction from the child. Don't hold it. You know, there's a vitamins. Our kids, they eat those gummy vitamins every morning. And anyone has kids knows those gummy vitamins. And our children love waking up in the morning and eating their vitamins. Every morning, they love getting their vitamins. And then they get their cereal or whatever they're going to make themselves for breakfast. And whatever they're going to make me for breakfast. No. I don't eat breakfast. But anyway. So you know what they, you know what another vitamin they need that's in that shelf? It's vitamin D, vitamin discipline. And if you don't give it to them, you are withholding what they need and you are being a bad parent according to the Bible, not according to Pastor Betts. Withhold not correction from thy child. For 23 and verse 14, thou shalt beat him with the rod. And shall do what? You want Johnny to go to hell? The first step to hell is rebelling against dad and mom. Rebellion is bound up in the heart of a child. No one did not be given over to a reprobate mind without first being disobedient to his parents. That's the first step. You know why Abel died, and Adam and Eve had to have a funeral for Abel? Because they disobeyed their father. You know why Adam and Eve had to witness the Lord killing animals in their place and covering them with bloody skins? Because they disobeyed their father. It says Adam was the son of God. And it says this in 29 and 15. Two more verses and we're done. 29 and 15. The rod and reproof give wisdom. You know why there's so many stupid people in this world? Because their parents didn't give them any wisdom. Do you want your child to be smart? Do you want them to be able to make good deals and be smart? Do you want them to be big league? Do you? You got to give them wisdom. You have to give him wisdom. And then look at this. 29:15. You saw that one. But a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Remember we started out being embarrassed? Remember that? Listen. You're not... Please don't... After the service, try to get control of your child in the back of the church. It's not the place to do it. Right? But you know how many times I've been ashamed where I told my son to do something and he didn't do it? He rebelled against me? How many of you people in here have seen that happen to me? Can you see your hand? Seen it happen to me personally where I told my son to do something and he rebelled against me. You know what happened? I was embarrassed. You know why? Because I left him to himself. Okay? And then here's the verse that puts the icing on the cake and makes everything happy this morning and good. Proverbs 29 and verse 17. correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. Children are not meant to be a burden. It's not meant to be, I can't wait till my kids grow up and I'm stressed out and I'm overwhelmed and I have no rest. Listen, there's child training, it's going to take a lot of work. It's going to be a lot of work. But when you have those parenting victories, it just makes it worth it. It makes it so worth it. When you go into their room to kiss them goodnight and they're talking to you about the Bible and the things that they've learned. And you know what? It's just such a delight. It's such a delight to your soul to say, son, come here, and he comes. And you say, go do this, and he does it. And say, vacuum the floor, and he does it. Say, feed the dogs, and he does it. And you say, come sit with me and spend time with me. And because he's disciplined, he can actually sit there and spend time with you and fellowship with you and pay attention to what you're saying. Because he's been subdued, he's been restrained. Amen? Now, look. This is what the Lord says. And this might have been difficult this morning, but I promise you this. The judgment seat of Christ is going to be much more difficult. And at the judgment seat of Christ, we're going to give account not only what we did with our money, not only what we did with our husband or wife, but we're going to give account with what we did with our children. And it is not your decision. It is your decision whether you're going to follow God and do what he said or not. And you know what he said about Eli? You honored your children above me. He said you cared more about your child and their feelings than you cared about me. You care more about the Lord or your child's feelings. You cannot honor the child above the Lord. It has to be God first. Amen? And I love you. I really do. And I want what the best thing for you as your pastor. Right? And I've been through this and you've seen it. And now praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm on the other side. And a lot of it's just a personal testimony, but children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise. And then it says this, that it may be well with thee. It's sad to see people die young. Right? You know why a lot of them die young? Because they stayed rebellious their whole life. They rebelled against their parents. They rebelled against the church. They rebelled against God. Let's stand for prayer, and if I can have the piano player come.